and it's a part of Abraham's story. And if you go to the next slide, you may not be able to read it, but it's just going to keep me in touch. I don't know if those on Zoom can see it. Apologies.
Boom, there you go. They can.
Hopefully. So here we have the story of Abraham starts in Genesis 11.
Can't it? 1 second.
He has quite a few challenges because when he's 75 years old, he's asked to leave Ur to go with his family to. He doesn't know where. We have in Genesis 16 and 21 the story of him having to say goodbye to his first son, Lot, who has to leave.
Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and near in the thicket there was a ram. He saw a ram caught by its horn. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declared the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sea of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offsprings all nations on the earth will be blessed because you obeyed me." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bethana. So my first thing by way of introduction is there was no warning. There was no warning that this was going to happen to Abraham. Mm. And the dramatic tension in this passage, you can feel it, it's palpable. The author, right at the beginning, says this was a test.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't say this is a test. He just heard God saying, "Go, take, sacrifice." It was like really clear what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, many people have said that this storytelling, the way that they've built up, the author has built up this stark, short story, is one of the peaks of ancient narrative. It's really cleverly written to build this up. And God gives no explanation in the story why he's doing it. It's just go, take, sacrifice. Think for a moment, time for your faith journey. And God has asked you to do something that you thought, you've been left reeling. You've been stopped in your tracks and you feel, oh, is that just something too much as a sort of a wall of blockage ahead of us? I've called it the wall, and you'll hear a bit more about that. But another image which might help you is what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul, when something happens and you just feel, oh my goodness. And he wrote it in the 16th century, so, you know, nothing's new.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity, we all struggle in different times, and we've got this example of Abraham to look at today. But sometimes this time of crisis can turn our world upside down. You know, it can be the job loss, the divorce, the death of someone close to us, a diagnosis, a really disillusioning church experience, a shattered dream, a wayward child. The list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And we question ourselves, and we question God, and we question the church, and we suddenly realise actually some of our faith doesn't seem to work at that moment. We seem to have more questions than answers. So what do? Like Abraham, when our experience of God feels more like an absence than a presence? How do we respond when our familiar experiences of God disappear into the mist? How do we go forward when all we seem to see And here in Genesis 22, that profound answer, God will provide the land. So not just for Isaac, but for all of us. And they walk on together. And what's not often mentioned is Isaac. When I was hearing his story as a child, I think we got the impression he was like a baby, maximum a toddler. But actually, at this time when it was written, he was in late boyhood. He might have just been about to go through a growth spurt and be taller than Abraham. He wasn't a young child. He was Abraham's companion. They were walking on together at the same pace. They were in it together, and perhaps then Isaac was sharing the faith with Abraham, because at no point is there a shouting match, a struggle, a fight. He cooperates, so the story says. But boy, did Abraham have to work things through. He didn't shy away. And so many people, you may be able to think of them yourself, a believer will hit a wall, get stuck, and they drop out and give up. Don't bother anymore, it's too hard. In these times of crisis, we need to take time for deep reflection. Abraham could have 3 days of walking. Sometimes we need to go on a long walk. I think there's something in the history of our faith where people went on pilgrimages, didn't they? And still do today. There's something in it. Deep reflection, walking step after step, wrestling with God. And all through this, we see that Abraham trusts. He trusts God and the journey into a mysterious and unknown place. And the problem is, in our culture, people do like to look in on themselves, don't they? All the answers in our culture are from within. Yeah? It's all there. Me to be me to be me. And that is not our understanding of wholeness. The answers aren't in us. So we don't turn inside to us and wallow or worship our feelings. No, we turn inwardly to allow God to change our things. So he can update our wiring. He can change us into who he wants us to be. And we can enter a richer, fuller communion with him. And I think the Bible doesn't tell us what's going on the inside of Abraham, because no hints are necessary. You can just imagine the turmoil he's in, what he's been tasked to do. There's if we go to the next picture, I may not be able to see it very well, it's better on the Zoom screen. Oh, thank you. So St. John of the Cross, he talked about 7 deadly sins or 7 imperfections. And some of those things that are within us, whether it be pride or wrath or gluttony or slothfulness, whatever it is, that deep work God can do within us when we are in a really difficult time. We take time to understand, but also realize that God is adding something into our souls as we wrestle, as we reflect, as we recall the mysterious things that God can do as he infuses us with his love. God powerfully invades us when we persevere patiently through suffering. So we have a great temptation to quit, to go backwards, but if we remain listening, God will put something in to our character that will mark us for the next step of our journey with him. Our faith will strengthen so that we will be able to say like Abraham, God will provide a way through. God will provide a way through. And we too will be able to express a profound trust in him. We're going to press pause while we think about that, and as we sing more with them, and then I'm going to talk about the second thing. Thank you. From Abraham to God's provision of a sheep mentioned. You'd think he'd be doing the high five, done what to do, and everything else, but I think it's just so overwhelmed what had happened that it's too much to be articulated. It was just too much to say. And it can be hard to put into words this work that God does in us. But Abraham had listened to God, and the blessings would follow. Not only to Abraham, which is the best thing about the way God works, it was for generations to come, intentionally thrown out. God doesn't need to act, but to bless others. As we come through the wall, we're very different. And I've got a picture coming, and it's a picture of a piece of pottery. And I want for a while, I was coming through a wall. Time of great hurt. I was being bullied at work. Things were going on in the church we were in, which were toxic power games. There were a lot of shenanigans going on. And I was at my wit's end of how I was being treated. I couldn't quite believe that Concord had just sorting it out for me. It was a hard time. And during that season, I was asked to preach about Jesus' command to love our enemies. And I knew a deep work was going on in me as I wrestled with my pride and my anger. But I kept going, and slowly I came through. And it was at that time I learned about the Japanese art of kintsugi. Has anyone heard of that?
Yeah.
It was the first time I heard about it, and you may not be able to see on the screen, this is a pot. And when it got broken, instead of throwing it away, it's been restored by golden, a mix of gold and something else, just to get back together. And the Japanese art kintsugi is called golden joinery, and it treats breakage and repair as part of the history of the object, rather than something to disguise. And I felt I was coming through this time, not scarred, but actually more beautiful in character, that God had used the difficult times to put this gold into me. That was part of who I was going into my next step. Mm. So those of you that are images, perhaps that's a helpful one to think about, that outward journey after you know God's doing that now, and how do you then live the outward journey? Sometimes you can't explain it, but you feel freer than ever from people's opinions of you. You feel more clear about who you are and more certain of God and His love. That's what happens when you journey outwards. And I've seen people that have come through a wall through suffering in their faith, and the wall didn't change them. They just keep hitting the wall again and again. And they bounce off, and they come back, and they get a little bit more bitter and angry. So I think it's really important to allow God's slow, deep work of transformation in us to go through the wall and come out the other side with those golden strands, and we can be more beautiful to character than before. I haven't got time really to go through the four things that are mentioned as ways of coming through the wall. But I'll just keep the headings. And the first one, it comes from the work of an author called Pete Cazero. If any of you have heard of him, I'll show you his book. If you go to the next slide, Tony, I'm just going to give the heading. So sometimes as we come through this, we have a greater level of brokenness. And there's this wonderful quote from St. Francis of Assisi: "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall enjoy everything." The second piece of wisdom is that we have a greater appreciation for holy unknowing, that mystery, the mystery of God. And again, from an ancient Augustine, if you understand, it is not God you understand. Sometimes we will never understand. Most of the time, we might not have a clue or an idea of what God is doing. But we can enjoy that deepened sense of mystery. Thirdly, a deeper ability to relationship and grow in that sense of God with us. And fourthly, we can have a greater detachment. Because the issue on our journey with God is not, am I happy, but am I free? And as we come through these difficult times, you realise you're growing in freedom, freedom that only God can give. Because when we're in a difficult time of the war or a dark night, more than anything else, we realise that we don't quite understand ourselves. Layers of ourself are shed, but something true is invested in us. And something of Christ comes out and slowly emerges. And that is very, very freeing. So Abraham's story reminds us of the importance of giving up power and control, allowing God's work to take place deep within us, to transform us, and to be a blessing, to know that peace, that freedom, and to be able to pass it on. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, teach me to trust you, even when I don't know where you are going or what you are doing. Help me to surrender, not to turn inward to my own strength, but to turn inward to find you afresh. Lord, help me to centre myself on you and know your rest and your peace. Help me to recognise I'm safe.